You are listening to Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Unfortunately, the Mariners have kind of become a poster child for the offensive trends across the league this year, where you have no hitters happening at a record clip. The Mariners are one of three teams that have been no hit twice so far this year, so it's not exactly that sort of unprecedented, even that challenge. League average is at its lowest point in a long time. You're still seeing a lot of home runs, and all of those are kind of the broad strokes that generally hold true for the Mariners and figuring out, especially with a young team, how do you improve that performance? It's kind of the challenge of not just Scott Service, but Jerry Dipoto, the general manager, as they look to navigate this upcoming stretch.
Yeah, and navigating it is going to be difficult. Any solution that is not stay the course, is that even one that's on the table? And we'll ask Jerry about that momentarily. That is what I'm looking at. The rest of this season, are you going to address it now? Or is this, because you're in the midst of your process, a point in your process where you're not quite there?
The other part is, too, is maybe the answer is patience, and nobody wants to hear that, and it does require sort of staying the course, but that is, you do, it's not a surprise that this is a young team.
Right.
And we talked at the beginning of the year with Jerry about sort of the young teams can surprise.
Right.
Also coming off of a pandemic where you didn't have a minor league season. So all of these different, it is a complicated problem of how do you navigate through these waters, and you don't want to give up on something or to panic when it just takes a little bit of patience to see it through to the other side. And look, everybody would like to see an uptick here in the near term to provide some reassurance and some support in that regard. Jared Kelnick provided a boost when he came up for the his second game and the impact that he had, but we're watching some of the growing pains that go on. Jerry Dipoto is with us now here on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. And again, as always, Jerry, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
You got it, guys. I'm sure I answer at the perfect time in this conversation.
we're talking about the challenges when you have a young team are how do you exercise the proper amount of patience and let guys work through things? And also, like, what's in the best interest of their development? I guess I'll just ask in a broad section, what have you seen from your young hitters over these past couple weeks when it's clearly been a challenge to get the run production you guys want?
You know, I mean, like we have throughout the course of the last couple of years, it starts and it stops. And there's hot streaks and you cool off, and it's young hitters trying to find confidence. And I think the answer to your initial question, or at least the meat of your question in there, is that from the position of assessors, or, you know, evaluating what we're doing, we try to take a 24 by 24 view, focusing on the 24 hours, but remembering what's important that comes over the next 24 months. And you know, when you're developing these young players, it's important to remember that this is preaching patience, so to speak. But for most of these young players, the assimilation to the big leagues is going to take somewhere between 300 and 1,000 plate appearances. And we are just starting. We just pushed away from the dock in that. So the young ones take a little bit of time. Some will hit the ground running and never look back. Some, like Taylor Trammell, they get a reset in AAA, and hopefully it does the trick. But I've said before in a different way, player development isn't always linear. And we're finding that out in a way that is just as painful as the injuries we're dealing with. So it's not been a fun period to watch our offense, but it will turn. We are going to start scoring some more.
That 24-month number, Jerry, that you just put out there is definitely interesting. And I do wonder about this season with some of the struggles at the plate. In the short term, in the, I don't know, 2 months period, are you guys looking at ways to bolster the lineup that has been having the issues that they are having right now?
Yeah, I mean, most of that's going to come from within. You know, we're in that stage in the season. And, you know, for the previous, I guess, quarter of a season, you heard me talk about stressing those 30, 40 games to watch and see how the roster you grow camp with, you know, performs. You know, now this next stage of the season is really identifying what you can do to help. And the trade markets don't typically open up till a little later in the season, probably late June, mid-July is when it really starts getting cooking. So we are going to have to go from within. And I touched on it briefly. You know, right now we have 13 players on our injured list. And, you know, a third of our lineup, half of our rotation, a good deal of our bullpen, we're playing without. So we've already tapped into the players that we thought were capable at the upper levels of filling some of those voids. So between now and when the trade markets open up, you're left to the waiver wires and what might be available to you in remaining free agents. But that is a very, very thin pool. So a lot of our improvement is going to have to come from an improved performance because our process is something that we really lean on. We continue to swing at the right pitches. We're just not doing much with them. And when it comes down to it, it is a performance-based league, but we have to stay rooted in our process. And our guys are swinging at the right pitches. Unfortunately, we're just not doing anything when we get that opportunity.
We're talking to Jerry Dipoto, his weekly visit with us, as sort of a talent assessor, but also as someone who's kind of guiding the development of players. What are the things that you look at specifically with young hitters, especially if that hitter's struggling, when you determine what steps to take with them?
You know, you want to see, the first thing you're looking for, are they in a rush? You know, baseball is a very patient game, and you have to play baseball with, and I've referenced it this way at times, you know, you have to have a slow heartbeat. And, you know, the player who is able to maintain that slow heartbeat typically outperforms the opponent. And when the player gets in a rush, and say when you've watched thousands and thousands of at-bats or innings pitched, what have you, when the player starts to jump, you know, when the hitter jumps from his backside to his front side, when the pitcher jumps from the rubber to the plate, it is that's when you're starting to get outside of what you can do physically. And the best thing we can do in those moments is slow them down. And frankly, right now, with what you're watching, our lack of timing, the propensity for strikeouts or infield pop-ups, which has become, you know, sort of our MO this season. When you're doing that, that is very reflective of a broken timing and a little jumpiness. And we just need to settle them down. And you settle them down by trying to create practice spaces that give them a chance to breathe a little bit. And you know, right now that's not happening. You start to see them get in a rush. You can't have a better offensive approach than we had Sunday against Shane Bieber, who might be the best pitcher in the American League over the last couple of years. And we didn't do those things at all in the Detroit series. So I know it's in there. We just have to calm down and not get jumpy. You know, the first at bat doesn't define your day.
We have now for a week seen both Jared Kelnick and a couple of starts from Logan Gilbert. How would you grade the early returns, and how do you properly gauge those early returns, given that, I mean, it's their first foray into the major leagues, and we're only talking about a week's worth of games?
Yeah, again, you try to use that same 24-by-24 lens. And in Jared's case, I thought, obviously, his second game is very reflective of what we think he's capable of doing. Albeit he's not going to do it every day. There's been starts and stops, you know, and I thought last night, the last 2 days, really, you know, Jared took his first walk, which is, to me, that's an important step. is breathing long enough to see the pitches and take your first walk. You know, he is starting to find his way. I thought his last at bat last night, when he went to left center field with a line drive swing, that's how you get back on track. And, you know, and like a lot of young hitters, JK's finding that it's a tough league to break into, and we're going to see his talent shine. He's too good not to succeed in this league, and too driven, I believe that. And Logan's just thrown too many pitches that are catching too much plate, and I don't think he's had enough feel for his secondary pitches in these two games. It took him a little while in his first start to work into his breaking ball, and yesterday I felt like he could never find it, but you know, that's going to be the key for him, is getting his secondaries in the strike zone and getting them off of his fastball. tennis basketball is best when it's located or elevated, and we're not really seeing that. But I think, you know, Tarek Skubal and Casey Mize, who pitched the first and third games of this past series for Detroit, are great examples of young players that are growing, you know. Mize is one of the top 10 prospects in the league. Tarek Skubal, who yesterday won his second major league game, and this is his second season. It takes a little bit of time sometimes. And these are really good young players, and we believe in what their future looks like. I'm not going to get too caught up in the week's worth of at-bats or seven innings pitched. We'll be patient and see how this develops with these young guys.
Jerry DePoto is with us. We always appreciate the time, Jerry. I'd ask you, you're also coming off of an unprecedented year with no minor league season whatsoever. And you guys did as much as you could to create competitive at-bats for the younger prospects, but that's probably a little bit of an unknown. Have you observed any effects from last year when it's come to impacting the development of some of your younger players?
We're still determining that. You know, at the minor league level, right now we're thriving. Our hitters are hitting, our pitchers are pitching, and we're clicking on all cylinders. You know, I really do think the anomaly here is what's happening to us in the big leagues. And, you know, I think you touched on it at the beginning. It's a league-wide thing. You know, I think as a league, we're hitting 230. But for the Mariners, over these past 30 days, we are at an unprecedented low. I can't find a historic example of a team who has struggled offensively to the extent we have over a 30-day stretch. And I think we're hitting 185 over the last month. That's hard to do. And, you know, in a game of averages, sooner or later it's going to turn, and we just have to believe it will. And I don't think that's anything to do with the year off from the pandemic. I don't think that's anything developmental. I think it's just something that we have, a hurdle that we have to get over in our approach and our mentality and then believing we can, because right now we're not running on a very high level of offensive confidence.
A last thing for you, Jerry. You mentioned Taylor Trammell, who as soon as he went down started hitting. I mean, I think it was 14 hits in his first 22 at-bats at AAA. Is there the plan for him for the foreseeable future, just depending on what happens in the big leagues, that he continue to rebuild his confidence down there? What maybe, I guess a better way of asking is, what does his performance say to you guys about what the future holds for him?
Again, like we talked about when we sent him out, I'm more convinced now. We're more a bigger believer in Taylor Trammell's upside ceiling than I've ever been. And that was reinforced by what he did when he went to Tacoma. And I think the thing that jumps out is just how resilient he is because he really did struggle for the days leading up to being sent out to Tacoma. And he showed up in one day. He didn't take a day off and immediately started hitting. And he started hitting breaking balls, and he started hitting, really just started hitting. He started using the opposite field. The strikeouts really decreased. You saw all of the skills start to come out. And that's why I said sometimes it's not linear. You know, he goes to the big leagues for the first time. He gets a taste and he struggles. He goes back to AAA and for a period dominates. And we will see Taylor Trammell again in the big leagues in 2021. And my guess is that we'll see a better version than we did the first time. And I could not be prouder of how resilient he's shown to be in taking the challenge. That's what's required when you're going through, you know, the ups and downs of both the long season and the difficult development in transitioning from a really good minor league player to a really good big league player.
He is Jerry DePoto. Jerry, we're always grateful for the time, and we appreciate the insights, and hopefully we'll have some hits to talk about next week when we talk to you.
I would love that.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
See you guys.